Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Looking forward to an exciting journey in our broadcast today. Looking forward to having you join with us as we discuss the issues. We'll be talking about an issue today, along with other points that come into play with that. Famine in the land, famine in America. Would you have thought that the food basket of the world would be in a position that we could face extinction by way of famine? Well, the Bible talks about that. In the last days, we'll be faced with wars and rumors of wars. Basileon against Basileon, that's kingdom against kingdom. We'll be looking at some of those thoughts today in this broadcast. It deals with biblical prophetic future and what God is saying. We will link that, ladies and gentlemen, with what's taking place in the Biden family cabal, the scabs left over from the Obama administration, and Sleepy Joe, that doesn't know what state he's in most of the time. The Easter Bunny has to come and walk him off the stage and point him to the right direction of the door. But we'll be talking about what is taking place in our nation today and how that correlates with eschatological, biblical, prophetic future and what God is saying shall take place. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that God's word stands. It's not something that may or may not take place. If you know the scripture from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, we understand that God has already given us history pre-written. And so when, as believers and conservatives and Christians in particular, when we see these things taking place, we should, Luke 21:28 says, we should look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the very cusp of that taking place. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the lawless one, the Antichrist, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18, shall step on the scenes and will rule and reign in this old world with an iron fist. We're seeing the stage being set today on a global, international basis, as well as what we're seeing in America as we watch them take place. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not by happenstance. It's not by accident. It's God's plan for this whole world. The volitional choice of man is bringing about God's sovereign plan. So it's not a matter of God's sovereign plan doing this without man being involved. We are volitional beings. We make choices and decisions, whether it be in America or around the globe, and these choices and decisions are based on what the satanic, demonic move is pushing mankind to do. Therefore, we see it unified and a unified effort across the globe to push these things to fruition. It's setting the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the Bible. We used to sing in Bible school and vacation Bible school and Sunday school years and years and years ago, and I'm still less than 100 years old. We'd sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the word of God, the Bible, I call it the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then the Lord Jesus stated in John 14:6, I am truth. And then further, he makes the declarative statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God. that should be the focus and the foremost thoughts and activity in our lives. We should take the Word of God and use the central biblicist worldview to make the determination decision. What do I mean by a central biblicist worldview? It means that I take the prism of God's Word and I place it over the analysis of every event that's taking place, whether it be social, economic, political, spiritual, philosophical, theological, doctrinal, whatever is on the table for discussion. We take the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and analyze it based on the authority of Scripture. What is God doing? What is God saying? God's given us His Word. It's history pre-written that we'll know what God is doing. You see, I've read the last chapter of the book. I've read the book, and I've read the last chapter of the book, if you please, and I know what God is doing. You know, the old mystery novels, sometimes you'd ask, who done it? Poor grammar, but it makes a point. Who done it? And you look at the last chapter to see who is the villain and how it's wrapped up. And I know who the villain is. I know what good and bad is. I know what God is doing and how He's going to wrap up this old world. So it's based on the truth of the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, in society today, truth is not sought after. Truth is rejected and rebuffed. Truth is denied. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place today. It's a revulsion, a rejection, a dissing, if you want to use a world's term, a dissing of the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the famous statement made by former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. This is what, in part, what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth. Listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the very crescendo of the last days of this old world. And I believe there's every time where you, whether I, we make a decision about telling the truth, standing for the truth, loving the truth, and defending the truth, when it's time to do so, I believe it's now. I believe as never before in the history of our globe, it is now that Christians, conservatives, and patriots ought to stand for truth without wavering, without bending, without bowing. Go back to the book of Daniel, Daniel the third chapter, we find the three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow. They were chided and challenged and tried to force to bend. They refused to bend. When they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they refused to burn. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we refuse to bow, we refuse to bend, and stand for the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives today as Christians, as conservatives. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road right here in Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news about Tools for Time. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance and mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales. They're hiring all positions, including customer service representatives and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its full staff and employees to be off on Sunday to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God ordained it from the very beginning. So being closed on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, if you're working for Tools and Time, Tools for Time, it gives you an opportunity to worship with your family as God ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, just drop by Tools for Time, make your application for employment, wait for an interview, and see where God places you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, if you're tuned in today by way of online listening, let me remind you that area code is 904, 831-0917, 831-0917. We invite your calls, your comments, your dialogue and discussion as we talk about a broad spectrum as an overview of what we're seeing eschatologically and prophetically and the pieces of the puzzle that's bringing this about. The focus of this broadcast, however, is famine in America. You know, in the little book of Amos, it talked about famine in the land, not a famine of food, not a famine of water, but a famine of the word of God that would be the future tense. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that day where we're having a famine of the word, and as a result of the famine of the word, that's the word of God, a famine of the word. You see, the Word of God's been shut out of the academic institutions. The Word of God's been shut out of the public arena. The Word of God and the Church of God and the Christians and the prayer and the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ all have been shut out, generally speaking, in the public forum in the arena of life today. And ladies and gentlemen, when we find that taking place, we understand that Scripture is being fulfilled perhaps as never before. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps the most, for the most part, Americans today have been gospel hardened. Hear me, gospel hardened. By that I simply mean that they have heard the preaching and the thoughts and the truth from the Word of God so long, so much, that they have just become unconsciously disconnected with biblical truth. Perhaps I'm talking to you, ladies and gentlemen, and you say, well, I've heard some of those things all my life. I'm just not satisfied with believing that it's on the cusp of these things taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, that does not change the plan of God and the calendar of God and the chronology of what God is doing one iota. You can disbelieve it. You can discount it. You can diss it. You can disengage from it, but it does not change it. This is the reason I'm encouraging you today, ladies and gentlemen, to understand the precarious days in which we're living in. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and following, it gets a good overview of what's going to take place, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible talks about that in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, that is. And in doing so, it talks about what is going to take place in the last days. And I believe we're in the last of the last days, perhaps as never before in the history of this old world. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew chapter 24 is the eschatological prophetic text, as we find in Mark chapter 13 and John chapter 21. Let me just read you a few verses in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the beginnings of sorrows that's taking place in the world today. We're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, wars and rumors of wars. I've said before, and at the risk of redundancy, may I say again, you can take a globe, a globe on a stand, close your eyes, spin it, place your finger any place on that globe, and chances are very, very good that something in relationship to the wars and rumors of wars, and that word rumors means rumblings of wars, there will be, as you place your finger on that globe, there will be something in relationship to the rumors, the rumblings of wars taking place in that part of the globe. That's happening on a global level today. And then the Bible talks about pestilences. That's diseases. And we see, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about it during this broadcast today. We see one of those major diseases, pestilences, that's called COVID-19. Then it went into Omicron. Now it's supposed to be the BA2 variant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in at this point. I believe during the course of the next 90 to 180 days before us, 90 to 120 days in particular, I believe we're going to see, jumping on the scenes, another scary variant of COVID-19 that I believe will be absolutely manufactured out of whole cloth out of the White House and the scabs out of the Obama administration through Sleepy Joe Biden, which is the puppet, with behind the scenes Barack Hussein Obama carrying out his third term in office today through the puppet Joe Biden. But I believe we'll see some mega, major, scary statements out of the World Health Organization and Emperor Saint Anthony Fauci that's going to cause us to believe that somehow, some way, we will not be able to go to the polls and vote. That's on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen, in my most humble opinion, that will try to shut down the voting so that they can try to once again steal the election under fraudulent means, just as they did in 2020. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the broadcasts this week we'll be dealing with, the question, was 2020 a fraudulent election? Or if you want to call it that, was the election stolen in 2020? All of the information and the battleground states are coming to a major, major conclusion and the fruition. And then out of that, we're finding that, yes, indeed, the election was absolutely a fraudulent election. It was a stolen election. Joe Biden is a fraudulent president. Joe Biden is illegally seated in the White House. Joe Biden should have never been placed in the Oval Office. We'll talk about that in one of the broadcasts this week, or if you'd like to ask questions about it today, jump in. The telephone number is 831-0917. Then you see false prophets, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things, in fact, it starts out in Matthew 24 and the fifth verse and following. False prophets is the first leading indicator of the last days. And we have today, ladies and gentlemen, the pop-up churches with the pop-up preachers, with the pop-up theology, with the cotton candy theology, the goosebump theology, the voodoo theology that's absolutely coming out of false prophets, false preachers' mouths with all kinds of things that you cannot validate and verify any place in the Word of God. That's taking place on a rampant basis in America today in particular, but around the globe also. False prophets. And then the scripture says nation against nation. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the word ethnos. We get our word ethnicity. That is race, ethnic groups of people. Ladies and gentlemen, racial division today as never before in world history. We're witnessing the signs, the prophetic eschatological signs coming into focus, not just in America, but globally. And according to the text in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6, ladies and gentlemen, there will come a day that there will be such grave famine in the land that it will be the cost of a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. That's on the fast track. In your Bible, open it if you're not driving. Look at Revelation the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, and you'll find that's one of the major prophetic signs of the last days. That bread, a loaf of bread, will cost a day's wages. Now, day's wages in America, you can calculate $20, $30, $40, $50 an hour. That's the running wages across America. And you calculate that on a day's wages as to what the cost would be for a loaf of bread. We're watching the eschatological truth of the Word of God coming to the full fruition and the forefront, and it's as a result of the Biden administration with the super hyperinflation, the cost of goods going up as never before. In fact, inflation running at the rate of over more than the past 40 years that's taking place today under this administration. I believe we have Mark on the line. Mark, give you the question or comment, please.
Hello, sir. I just had a question about something you started the program with.
Yes, go ahead.
You were saying that you've read the final chapter and you know good and bad. And something I've dealt with is in the first chapter of the book in Genesis, where it says that the fall of man was from believing the understanding of good and evil. Is this a continuation of that under the fall of man that we're seeing now? It's something I'm trying to place in the whole context of the Bible. I just appreciate your help on that.
Mark, let me just do a little basic overview. In the book of the Genesis, the first two chapters, you find the creation day by day by day. And by the way, we know that a day is 24 hours based on the first two chapters of the book of book of Genesis in particular. Then in the third chapter, we find the fall of man. The fall of man, God said, you can eat of every fruit of the tree in the Garden of Eden except for the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't. Eve, as I use the term speaking on that subject. Eve walks up and sees the fruit. She said, it looks good. She touches it. It feels good. Adam, come over here let's look at it. And she said, I bet that will taste good. She plucks the fruit. We don't know what kind of fruit it was. And she eats it. And God had said, don't. God created man volition with a volitional choice, and man decided through Eve, and it was Adam's responsibility. Adam was created as the federal head of the human race, and as a result of Adam's giving in to, I call that, by the way, the first act of feminism, where the woman, the wife, led the decision rather than the man, and as a result of that, sin came into the world, and death by sin, according to Romans, the 5th chapter, and therefore death had passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So it is the responsibility of the individual, i.e., we as human beings were created in the image of God to worship God and to honor God and to impact the lives of others, that they will also know God through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's the origin of sin. Sin came into the world as a result of that, and serpent, which is Satan himself, beguiled Eve and caused doubt and denial, and was saying, you realize that God's trying to shortchange you, because God knows that if you eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you will then be able to be as gods. He was putting, if you please, adding to the Word of God. He was diminishing from the Word of God, shortchanging it. I use the term the Word of God. And as a result of that, Eve believed, because she had had a dialogue and discussion with Satan, she believed him, trusted him more than she trusted God. So I pray that that was an answer for you, because we go back to the Word of God and we see where sin came into the world as a result of sin.
I wonder if that is that simply a metaphor about the tree, or are we still choosing today what is good and what is evil according to our own?
Absolutely. We're created as volitional beings. As volitional beings, that means that God's word is very, very, very clear throughout the scripture, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, of what is honorable to God and what is right. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. There's a responsibility on the part of man to choose good. You look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, chapter 29, it's talking to choose evil. There's a curse. To choose good, there's the blessing. Man is created as a volitional being. We make the choice each and every day. And a little footnote on that. I grew up hearing and I'm still under 100 years old, but I grew up hearing my mother say, you know, Satan's on one shoulder saying do this, and Jesus on the other shoulder saying no, do this. And that's talking about the volitional choice. We're created as volitional beings. So it's not a metaphor. It is a real, real, real example given in the scripture of how we make choices, and those choices determine our eternal destiny. And as we make choices each and every day, we can choose good or we can choose evil. God does not make us as a robot where we are on a string and he's the puppeteer and we're the puppets. That's not so at all. There's some people that teach the sovereignty of God to the extent that man has no volitional choice, that man is simply a robot, that God forces us, makes us do. No. That is not true at all. We make a decision.
I just wonder if we're saying absolutely, I know bad, I know good, and we say it's the Democrats, for example, have we not divided ourselves out from them and said, well, those are the bad people, I'm the good people? And is that not the same continuation of the knowledge of good and evil that separated from God originally in the fall of man?
Well, let me bring your illustration to the forefront. When you look at the Democratic National Committee and their stand, what is called the political planks in their position, politically speaking, they believe in murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Abortion is murder. They believe in the sodomite lifestyle and embracing the LGBTQ agenda. And the scripture is very, very clear that the sodomite lifestyle is the only sin that God destroyed two cities in the plains thereabout. In Genesis, the 19th chapter, verse 24, 25, and 26, God has given them over to a reprobate mind in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 32. So we have the whole party that sold out and surrendered to serving Satan rather than serving the Savior. So, yes, if it is, in fact, I'll say openly and honestly, Mark, to everybody that's listening today and beyond, if you are a professing Christian and you say also I'm a Democrat, you're lying to yourself, you're deceiving yourself. It's an impossibility to be a Democrat and to be a Christian obeying the Word of God. It's as simple as that. Mark, thank you so much for your call. I pray that that was a blessing for you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Yeah, the famine there, that's a, when you were speaking in your monologue there, that's actually a double-edged sword, like you were alluding to. There is definitely a famine and a lack of the word in our nation. And I see a lot of people trying to find something, but they're looking for it in the secular world. And don't you dare tell them that Jesus Christ has something for them, because you'll offend somebody. But yet they can go out and seek any other kind of form of enlightenment. And to me, even the, like Jesus said, even the demons know who he is and know who God is, and they know the history. So when you're talking about people coming in his name there, they're going to be just like children of light, but it's the word, and you got to listen to it, and you got to know the word and know that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Anything outside of that, you know, him being given in remission for your sins there and resurrected on the third day, outside of that, there's really nothing they can say to me that's going to, hopefully, there's nothing they can say to me that'll make me think, oh. But have you listened to Tucker Carlson the other day about the food plants catching on fire, an inordinately high amount of them, these processing plants?
I didn't catch that, but I've read several articles about that, and it's odd that almost simultaneously in the past, just the past 2 or 3 weeks, we've had, I think it's 6 food processing plants that's either blown up mysteriously or been burned down mysteriously. And I believe it is the concentrated effort by the socialist, Marxist, communist in America to destroy the Constitutional Republic and turn us into Venezuela and North Korea and Cuba, and to have the total shortages. It's already bad enough with what Sleepy Joe's doing, bad enough as a result of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and all of the fertilizer material, the wheat. In fact, I didn't realize until the Ukrainian war that Ukraine produces about 6% of the wheat for on a global basis. And as a result of that, we're finding food shortages. And as a result of the restrictions on Russia, and as a result of what's happening in Ukraine, we're finding fertilizer shortage. In fact, I read an article just the other day where it showed a long train of boxcars or with cars that's carrying fertilizer, and said it had been restricted, could not come into America and into the Western world in general. And as a result of that, we're going to have major, major, major food shortages and, yay, even famine in the land. And I don't know about you, Jim, but I know that as we are speaking today to the general public, most are accustomed just going to the grocery store, picking out what you want, putting in your buggy, take it to the counter, paying for it, come home, and you have all the groceries that you need. I believe there's coming a day in the very near future. In fact, may I say, during the course of this year and early first quarter of next year, where there's going to be major, major, major food shortages and famine. Because right now, Jim, when it's seed planting time in America for a future summer and fall harvest, I believe that we're watching a major, major depletion of what will be on the marketplace in the fall as a result of not having the fertilizer to grow the plants. And so I am concerned. I'm not worried, because I know God is in control. And someone said, in fact, it was Dr. Adrian Rogers a number of years ago, said, when it's dark, it's gloriously dark, because it points to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's always darkest before the light. One last thing. Did you read about Guadalcanal, the Solomon Island chains in China?
I did not. Tell me about it.
China just signed a security agreement with the Solomon Islands there. For anybody who's a historian buff there, Guadalcanal was a hotly contested battle between the Japanese Empire and the United States.
Yes.
That raged during 1942, and the balance, really, of the Pacific War lay in that strategic area, because if Japan would have won that area, they would have cut off Australia. So Australia, being a, you know, English-speaking Christian founded, well, as a penal colony, but, you know, mm-hmm. it's has its origins also in the same as we do for the United Kingdom.
Jim, we're up against a hard break for the top of the hour news, but I can say this. China is coming into the forefront as one of the major last day players, as we find in the eschatological prophetic text of the Word of God. But thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We've got a 1 minute top of the hour break for our news, and we'll be right back right after the news.
Edu.